Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. In his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. The birds came and devoured it. And other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprung up, and since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. Since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see without not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. They have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who are sown on the good soil are those ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are indeed a God who speaks. You haven't left us in the dark on our own, but you have spoken your powerful word to us. And as we dig into this well-known parable, would you open the eyes of our hearts to the truth of your kingdom and to where our own hearts are at with you, the God who made us and has saved us through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, have you ever had a serious reality check? You know, when the brutal truth of your current reality is kind of dropped on you, you think this is happening, but actually, this is happening. In high school, I started a band with my mates, and we thought we were amazing. We rehearsed every week, we played shows fairly regularly, we even got a few songs on a compilation CD for those under 25. Ask your mum and dad, what is a CD? We thought we were going to tour the world, legitimately thought it, not just kind of, we might, we were definitely going to tour the world. And then we scored a support act for a mildly famous rock band, which you have probably never heard of, and we thought, that's it, we are on. But it turns out that gig was the night of our reality check. First sign was, there were 11 people to hear us. We were the first there was a bunch of bands, and then the mildly famous rock band was at the end. And of those 11 people, the second sign was the leader of the mildly famous rock band was one of those 11. And afterwards, he came up to us and delivered the news. We were not good. Actually, we were terrible. He'd seen many young bands coming up, and without doubt, we were the worst. That was our reality check. We thought it was going like this, and it was going like this. Praise God, we did actually each go and do things that contribute to society instead of rock stars. We had a huge reality check. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus delivers a massive reality check, not to the hopes and dreams of a rock star, but of the kingdom of God, to his disciples, and to us as well. You see, things are cranking, aren't they, in Mark's gospel? If you've read it before, you'll know that Jesus has come proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he has shown himself to have authority over people. He says, follow me, and people just drop and follow him. He says to sick people, be well, and they are well. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over to forgive sins. He says, your sins are forgiven, and they are. He even has authority over evil. He commands evil spirits to come out of people, and they do. And the crowds are following him. In Mark chapter 3, just before our passage, chapter 3, verse 7, it says, a great crowd followed him, so great that the disciples thought he might get crushed. And at the beginning of this passage, I don't know if you noticed, we often skip to the parable, but the bit before that in Mark chapter 4 says, there's such a large crowd gathered that Jesus had to get into a boat and teach everyone on the beach so that he wouldn't get crushed. The feeling here, the context is things are cranking. Jesus can't go anywhere without a massive crowd. And his disciples are surely thinking, yes, we got this. We're on the way up. We're going to be rock stars. Then Jesus delivers this parable about sowing seed to different grounds. And you see what he's doing. Why is this parable here? It's a huge kingdom reality check for the disciples. And for us, it's a healthy dose of realism about how the church grows and where our hearts are at with the God who made us. A few things we see from this parable, and the first thing is this: it's hard. Sharing Jesus will be hard and look like a waste of time. Jesus tells this story about the sower sowing out seed, and he says the sower sows the seed, and if you know the story, it falls on different places, doesn't it? The path, the rocky ground, the thorns, the good soil. And different things happen to the seed depending on where it falls. And after he's told the story to the crowd, Jesus then teaches his disciples, his inner sanctum, what it means. Let's have a look at that from verse 14. Jesus explains it. The sower sows the word, that's the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes the word that is sown in them. Then there's a different response. These are the ones who are sown in the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. Yes, they have no root in themselves. They endure for a while, they keep going. And then when tribulation or persecution arises, it gets hard on account of the word. Gets hard being a Christian, not sure. Immediately they fall away. Third group, others are the ones who are sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You see what's happening with all those three types of responses. The word is sown, it's heard, but it doesn't produce anything. Each type of person here hears, did you notice? Every one of them hears the word. They heard the word. They heard the word. But this type of hearing doesn't produce anything. There's a word for this. It's in the aorist tense, which just means it's a one-off hearing. It's a simple hearing, all three times. A simple hearing that produces nothing. So that's the first thing to notice. This is hearing that doesn't produce anything. But did you notice also, there's waste. so much waste. Heaps of seed just being thrown out there. I once did a talk on this passage to a bunch of farmers. And one of the farmers said, "Mate, I've got this bag of seed. Do you want it?" before the talk. And I said, "Yeah, okay, cool." Huge, big bag. And so I couldn't help myself. I just grabbed it and threw it at them. And they were like, "What are you doing? That's precious seed." But they understood. How much of it did they actually grab onto? It just went all over the floor. I thought about doing it this morning, but I would get into serious trouble and have to vacuum for a couple of days. But these farmers, they understood that when that was their bread and butter, they sow seed, that's what they do. And there's heaps of waste. You see what Jesus is saying? In the height of his popularity, large crowds gathering around him, there's a kingdom reality check. Sharing his word of life will often be very difficult and look like a waste. You throw it out there. You go out and sow. That's what we do, don't we? We're Christians. We want to tell people about Jesus. Every Christian is a hungry beggar who has been fed by a banquet, wanting to tell all the rest of the hungry beggars where the banquet is. We have the words of eternal life, the gospel word in our hearts. And so surely we want to go sow that. We want to say, "Listen, Jesus died for your sins. Listen, he can give you life after you die. Don't stuff around with all that other stuff. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." We have the message that changes everything. So we take every opportunity, and what happens? Hard heart. Hard heart. Path. Rocks. Thorns. You finally get that opportunity to tell your mate Frank about Jesus. You've been praying for him. You've been having all your growth group pray for him. And he asks, "Matt," well, actually, people ask me all the time, because I say, "What do you do?" And I say, "I'm a pastor." And they say, "What?" And I say, "I tell people about Jesus and tell them about life after death." You finally get that opportunity that I get all the time. And he says, "So what is this Christian thing all about?" And you tell him about Jesus. And he says, "Wow, did you know the grand final's coming to Perth this?" Hard heart. It's hard work, and it's going to be unfruitful. It just is. That's what Jesus says. So what for us? Two things. One, don't be discouraged. That's normal. That's normal. Jesus is saying, this is the way it's going to be. Disciples, this is it. This is 101, sharing Jesus. Don't be discouraged. There will be hard hearts. And number two, don't try other strategies. What is the one thing we are tempted to do when people keep saying, "No thanks, no thanks, no thanks"? When some people go, "Oh yeah, that sounds good." And then they just don't return your texts. What's the one thing we're tempted to do? Maybe we can sweeten the deal. Maybe we can say, "Do you know what? God's going to bless you with money. He's going to make your life great." Or maybe we can water it down a little bit. Don't talk about sin or judgment. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Keep going. Keep sowing. Even though it's going to be hard and look like a waste of time. It's a bit of a downer, isn't it? Three types of soil that don't produce anything, zero. But that's not where it ends. Sharing Jesus will be hard and look like a waste of time. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. But he's also saying there's a harvest. Sharing Jesus will produce a massive harvest. The seed goes out. It falls on the path. It falls in the rock. It falls in the thorns. But it also, I don't know about you, when I read the good soil, I go, "Oh, yay, at last, some good stuff." The other seed fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, a hundredfold. Jesus explains what that means. Those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Three things. They hear the word, they accept the word, they bear fruit that grows and grows and grows. Now, there's a key thing here. You know, the first three hearings were all aorists. I didn't even know what aorist meant, but aorist means that one-off hearing that produces nothing. This, hear the word, is present. Do you know what that means? That means they hear it and they continue to hear it. Isn't that amazing? Deliberately put there for us to go, sweet, this means this is the people who keep hearing about Jesus, keep accepting Jesus, keep bearing fruit in Jesus, the good soil. Here, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. They hear that Jesus died for their sins. They hear that he is Lord of all and they say, yes, please. Every day it gets sweeter and richer. It sinks deep in their hearts like the seed is planted. And what does it do? It grows into a plant. 30, 60, 100. That's what happens. The gospel grows people. It saves people. It makes people right even when they're in the wrong. It brings forgiveness of sins. It reconciles people with God. It's the climax, the grand finale, the crescendo of this parable, isn't it? 30, 60, 100-fold. More and more and more and more and more and more and more fruit. It will be fruitful. So what does this mean for us? It's worth it. It's worth it. When you get the blank stares, when you get the awkward moments, when you get the ridicule. If you're not getting any of that, you're probably not sharing Jesus. It's worth the pain. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the disappointment. It's worth it when you tell your friend about Jesus and they go, that sounds cool, and they never return your calls, your texts. It's worth it when you don't know what's going to happen next. It's worth coming to church early and praying. It's worth getting on your knees every day and pleading with Jesus that he would produce more good soil. It's worth it. Because it will produce a harvest of people who live even though they die. Secondly, don't lose heart. Did you see that Jesus says he will do it? It will happen. There's no ifs or buts. Yes, there's three options that don't produce fruit, but there's one option that will definitely produce fruit. The good soil is good soil. It is going to produce a massive crop. It's worth it. Don't lose heart. Thirdly, keep sowing. We keep sowing. We keep throwing out the seed. A farmer doesn't stop sowing the seed because he sees some grain went on the dirt track. He keeps sowing the seed because he knows there's good soil. Keep praying for sowers. Keep being a sower. Give your time, your energy, your money to produce fruit that lasts forever. Keep sowing. It's going to be hard. Sharing Jesus will be hard and look like a waste of time, but it will produce a harvest. Sharing Jesus will produce a massive harvest. Finally, your heart. Sharing Jesus will expose your heart. We always jump to this quickly, don't we? But now we've done the work and seen what this passage is actually about. It's a reality check for us. It's a realism dose for our church to say, yes, it's going to be hard, but it will produce a harvest. But now we can look at our hearts. You see, Jesus tells this parable, and then he tells us what parables do. Did you see it? They're not only windows to those who understand, they're also barriers for those who don't. Jesus doesn't explain the parable to everyone, does he? He explains it to those who are following him. For those outside, the parable is judgment. This is why he quotes Isaiah chapter 6. To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. For those who are outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And you think, what? We want everyone to turn and be forgiven. But the context is Isaiah 6. God sends Isaiah to a hard-hearted people. They're already hard-hearted, and his word confirms the hardness of hearts. And that's what these parables do, don't they? The farmer sows seed on ground that will never produce a crop. It's hard. It's already hard. The parable simply confirms which camp you're in. Those who trust and follow Jesus understand. Those who don't, they reject him. This parable confirms their disbelief. So let's finish up. Where is your heart? Because this exposes our hearts this morning, doesn't it? Which soil are you? How do you respond to the word? You know, because we're looking at the parable of Jesus right now, so you already know what's going on in your heart. If you have a look there, are you hearing this and thinking, I don't know about this? Well, then you're in one of the first three. If you're hearing this, what Jesus is saying in this parable, and you're going, yes, please, more of that, thanks, then you're good soil. When my kids were smaller, I got to read stories with them. They're big now, so they don't like me doing that. They can't fit on my knee anymore. Some of them will be taller than me soon, which is another story I'm trying to work through. When Kate was 7, she loved Asterix. When Sam was 5, he loved anything about cars. And when Lucy was 3, she loved princesses. And as I'd read the story, they would see themselves in the story. I'm the one with the sword, Dad. I'm driving the digger. I get to wear that beautiful princess dress. My kids would see themselves in the story, and that's what this parable does for us. We're supposed to see ourselves in it. So, where do you see yourself? Are you a path? That's people who hear the word about Jesus but allow it to be taken away. Is this just bouncing off your heart? Like, that means nothing to me. If that's you, you hear all this stuff, it just washes off you, then the parable right now is confirming what you believe. You are nowhere with God. You don't love Jesus. But here's the thing. God softens hard hearts. So, have another look at Jesus, because he can make paths into good soil. What about rocky ground? There are people who hear the word but have no root, and they fall away when it gets difficult. Maybe you've heard about Jesus, you've been around this church stuff for a while, and you've initially responded with joy, but then you've realized, actually, I have to turn up to church each week. Man, that sucks. Say I'm a Christian, or I might get hassled at work or school. That sucks too. It's getting a bit difficult for you. If that's you, here's the question. What is more difficult than standing before the God who made you on your own without Jesus? It's not that difficult being a Christian now compared to fronting up to the God who made you on your own. You need Jesus. What about thorns? There are people who hear the gospel but allow money and worldly desires to choke you. Maybe you've heard about Jesus and you kind of follow him. You turn up to church, you might be in a growth group, you might be serving a bit, but actually your love is stuff. Your actual love is money. And you can test this to know which you think about. Just have a think about, what do I think about more? Do I check my bank balance more than I check what Jesus says in the Bible? Which do you love more? When you heard this parable, what happened? Did you start going off into, oh, but what about, what about that new car? Yeah, that'd be good. Has the world choked you? That's what thorns do. They choke. If that's you, you've got to do one thing. Ask yourself, where does that end? My love for money, possessions, with Jesus kind of on the sidelines. Where does that end? Jesus is better. We sang it. He's better now and he's better then. Well, finally, I know there's lots of good soil in this building right now. You hear the word of Jesus and you continue to accept it and you continue to bear fruit. That present tense hearing. Love hearing about Jesus. I love responding to him. I love waking up in the morning and reading my Bible, not checking my bank balance or Facebook. Is that you? Then you're good soil. What happened when you heard this parable? Did your heart get softer to Jesus? Did you go, wow, I've heard this parable so many times, but I really want to hear it again? Or did you think, oh man, I've heard this parable so many times. Give me something new. Where's your heart with Jesus? There's a kingdom reality check. Sharing Jesus will be hard, but there's going to be a harvest. Jesus will produce a massive harvest. And it's a heart check as well, isn't it? Where are you at with Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us your Son. We thank you for this sweet parable that really opens up our hearts to the truth and also encourages us to keep going, to keep sowing. We thank you that your gospel does go out and often does look like hard work and a waste, but we know it will produce a massive harvest of more and more people being saved from sin and death through your Son, Jesus. And thank you, Father. As we go, may you help us to do business with you, to really see where our hearts are at with you. Through your Son, we pray. Amen.